Certainly it's good to see each and every one of you out today. Certainly I'm glad that you're all here. We appreciate each and every one being here. It's a privilege, it's an honor for me to be able to be out here today and stand before you and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Today, I'd like time to talk to you about, or this morning, about peace. We think about peace, and I hear people pray for peace all the time and all these kind of things, but what does the Bible say about peace? If I ask you, do you think that Jesus came to bring peace, what would you say? Okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter 10 and we'll read a little bit about what Jesus said. 10 and 34. Says, think not that I am come to send peace on this earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Jesus speaking from his own mouth, talking about something here. Sometimes I think that we miss the boat or we get the wrong message about the peace that Jesus did come to bring. Jesus came to bring peace within us and between us and God. And in reality, the other kind of peace that's talking about here, or that we'll cover through here, is not exactly what's going to happen at all. And in reality, it's the opposite of what's going to happen. The reason being, it says, go on to verse 35, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foe shall be of his own household. And he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever shall give drink unto one of the least of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. This peace, or this is talking about here, Jesus come and he brought truth. And you know what truth does sometimes? It separates even people that we love. It separates us from friends, good friends, because Jesus brought the truth. He said in John chapter 14, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. That's very offensive to people. It's not inclusive to people, you know? It's not just taking in every doctrine and every, this God's okay, is that God, and we're all going to heaven and we're all on the same road. It's contrary to that. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you offend people. You can pray in anybody's name you want to in this country and it won't bother nobody as long as it's not in the name of Jesus. It offends people. You're saying that I believe in this Jesus Christ who said He is the way, one way. He is the truth. He is the life. No man goes to God except by Him. That's what you're saying. You're confessing. That's your testimony. And your belief when you pray publicly, when you pray out loud and you say these things, that's what it means. That's what Jesus is saying here. He said, yes, I didn't come to make you a peaceful people in that respect. Of course, there's another side to that too. We must always be loving, caring, and kind. And show the love of Jesus in our heart and to others. But we must stand firm in the truth that God spoke through His words, through His prophets, and that Jesus spoke from His mouth. And never compromise that. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. We cannot compromise. There is no compromise. Compromise is sin. It's simply another choice. And when it comes to Jesus Christ, there is no other choice. You're either for Him, you're against Him. There's no two ways about it. It cannot be any other way. That's the way it has to be. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 12, and we'll read a little bit there. Verse 51. It says, suppose ye that I came to give peace on the earth. I tell ye, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so is it. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it come to pass. You hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Jesus is talking to specific people here in this. But I just want to bring a point out from this right here, is the reason I read these last verses. You know what? It's a shame sometimes when God's people are more in tune with the physical things of this life than they are the spiritual things of God. You can look at the sky and you say, man, it looks like those clouds have rain in them, and sure enough, we get a shower. You know, and the sky is beautiful sometimes and not a cloud in it, and the sun shining like it has been so long and very nice and wonderful. And you just think, it's not going to rain, not a cloud in the sky. It's such a beautiful day. It's a blessing that God gave us. You know what? But when it comes to spiritual matters, we cannot discern. We don't know. We hadn't dug the Scripture out. We hadn't got in our prayer closet and prayed unto God and kept that relationship going and walked and talked with Him. Whereas we're in tune, we truly know God. When we read His Word, we understand what it's saying. We pray and we ask God to give us wisdom and understanding, and He does. We know He does. James says He does, right? Liberally to all men who ask, right? And upbraideth not. That's what James says. So, why do we not have it? It's because we're not seeking after it. It's because, like Brother Emerson brought up in our Sunday school class, if you would, we're more in tune with things that we like. That's our fancy. And like Daddy added to it, things that is important to us will be our priority. If you're about the things of this world, that will be your priority. If you like to hunt and like to fish, and I do some, but I just don't have time for it near as much anymore. I sneak off to the river and go fishing. But that things of that such can't be what possesses me. If I'm a child of the Lord, if I'm going to be a preacher, if I'm going to be a teacher, if I'm going to be a leader in my community, in my church, in my family, the way I should be, I need to be seeking God first. I need to be in tune with God so that I can lead my family to the Lord if they're not there, or if they are there, to help keep them in that way. And everything else from that is sin. There's no two ways about it. No excuses will do. And God don't want me going around all stiff. You know, we talked about this morning in Philippians how we need to rejoice. We need to be happy. But maybe the proper term is we don't need to be glorying in things of this world. Unless it's in that hope that we have in our Savior Jesus Christ. And that we're children of His. You know, like one of the references we used in it this morning too was about the disciples, you know, spirits being subject unto them. But we should be rejoicing about that our names are written in heaven, in the book of life. That now we should be happy. That should make us just glow all over to know that we have our names written in that book. And if we don't, we need to have that. And if we don't have that joy to go along with it, we need that joy. And if we don't have it, you know whose fault it is? It's like Brother Wallen brought up about self-control. Well, it's our own fault then. Nobody else can control us. We must do it ourselves. We must possess it ourselves. And the way that you do is you seek after it. That's a priority to you. It's a very important thing to you. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 14. I got ahead of myself there a little bit and used one of the quotes already about Jesus being the way, the truth, the life. Very narrow path, very straight path. There's only one. There's no other. It will not work. Some people compromise their faith in that, oh yeah, they want to tell us Allah, that's the same as God. No, it's not. Jehovah God is who it is. His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for me, that's who it is. There's no other. There are not other ways to God. There are not multiple ways. There's only one. Jesus said it from His own mouth. If we put our faith in the authority of the Word of God, that's what He said in verse 6 of John chapter 14. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father by me. So, if you don't have Jesus, you're not going to God. If Jesus does not rule over your life, if you're not confessing Him every day, living your life, portraying it in a way that's pleasing to Him, bringing honor and glory into Him, helping other people to get their life straightened with Him, come to Him, then you're not. You don't have Jesus. You're not going through Jesus. Because that's plainly from the Bible, the message He taught. That when I talked about earlier, about taking up your cross and bear it for Him. That's what you're not doing. If you're not doing that in your life each day, you're not taking up your cross and bearing it for Him. Going back to that other, you're taking up your own and doing what you want to for your pleasure. And Lord, I'm here to tell you, this country's all about pleasure and just eat, drink, and breathe merry. You know, just like if you read in the Bible when it talks about in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, that's what they were doing too, wasn't it? They were eating, drinking, and being merry. They was just enjoying life, just living life. And like going back to the rejoicing thing, God don't want us to just be stiff-necked and not happy. God wants us to enjoy these things we have, all in their proper perspective. When they don't take away from God, that's perfectly fine to go fishing. And He wants us to. He allowed us to have those things as a blessing, as a gift unto us. Everyone needs some time to unwind. Everyone needs some quiet, peaceful time away from the hustle and bustle of this life and the busyness of it. That's one of the tools that the devil probably uses on us more than anything, is to get us so busy in whatever it may be, even sometimes working for the Lord or thinking that we are too busy that we're not taking the time for everything else, the priorities. You know, our families are very important, not more important than the Lord. He has to be number one. But yeah, we'll lose our family if we don't put the proper perspective into that even, right? It's very demanding sometimes as people doing the things they do, but God wants us to take everything into account. Also in this passage here, let's read from verse 23. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto ye. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the Lord here, He's talking to His disciples. And He's saying, if you love me, you'll do what I said, right? And it's the same today. You can say you love the Lord all day long, but if you're not keeping the commandments of the Lord, you don't. It's straight up. Your actions show where your heart is. You know, it's just like when the Scripture says, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, it's the same way. Out of the abundance of what you do, your works, then your heart's speaking too. It's saying you really believe what you say, or either you don't. And if you think the world don't perceive that, and you think that they're not in tune with what's going on with you, you're sadly mistaken and you're badly deceived. The world reads that quicker than anything. If we say this, but we don't do it, it's not a priority to us. We're just doing it with eye service, if you would, or with our mouths. It cannot be. The Lord will have it no other way. It has to be from the heart. You have to mean it. It has to be the most important thing. I like this here where he says, if you love me, you will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And he does already. And it says, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You know what? You don't only just have the Lord there with you. You have God the Father there with you. You have the whole package. You have everything you need. You know, he's telling them here then that he's not going to leave them comfortless neither. That he's going to send them another comforter. The Holy Spirit will come. The other part of the Trinity. There is three. You know, many people, they want to say, oh, they're all the same. There's no difference and all this and everything. Maybe their purpose is not different, but there is three distinct characteristics to the Godhead. the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. There's three. You know? Yeah, I understand it's a little above my head when we get to talking about deity, being all present, all knowing, almighty, these things. But I totally, from the Scripture, biblically speaking, there's three different ones to that. They all have their purpose. They all have their focus. He's telling them here that the Holy Spirit will teach them all things and it will bring to remembrance the things He said to them. If you'll notice, He talked to them lots of times and they didn't get what He's saying. He's saying, I'll be delivered into the hands of men and I'll be killed. Well, they didn't get it. Until, when did they get it? When He rose again, they got it then, didn't they? Right? But up until then, they didn't get it. That was that Holy Spirit bringing back to remembrance. Well, they're like, hey, I remember He said something about this now. Yeah, in 3 days, He'd be rose again, and He did. That's exactly what happened. Let's move on a little bit. Acts chapter 10. Starting verse 36. It says, the word of God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That the word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and begun from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of devils, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of Jews in Jerusalem, whom they slew and they hanged on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even unto us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. So, the Word, focus on the Word and the doing of the Word. He sent them out preaching this word. And it's by Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. There is no other. If you'll notice what Jesus went about doing too, it showed how God anointed Jesus. He showed him. He set him apart. Even when he was baptized, when the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove, he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Well, all three was right there in that time. God spoke in an audible voice from heaven. The Holy Spirit, they seen it physically descend upon him like a dove. And there was Jesus. He was saying, this is him. This is my Son right here, in whom I'm well pleased. You know, I wonder sometimes, what would the Lord say if he spoke in an audible voice about us? Would he say those words that he was well pleased with what we're doing? Or what would he say? It's a serious matter. We're in this business here where souls are lost when we do wrong, when we don't heed God's warnings, when we don't go by what God said. We're setting an example. We have to live our life very distinguished, set apart, holy. We can't just go along with the world and be like the world and think that we're being a witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus. Because we're not. We'll go on a little bit. It says, To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter became, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry there certain days. So here it is. They's preaching the gospel. People believed in the gospel. This here specific thing was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, showing that God received the Gentiles as well as the Jews. It was an example so that they could see that they wasn't outcast anymore, that they were entitled to the same benefits
as God's chosen people had been in the past. This spiritual thing was for them as well. And that's why Peter asked a question here, can anybody forbid them water? That they should not be baptized. And they were brought in as well. He commanded them to be. People who tell you that you don't have to be baptized is totally in opposition, contrary to God's Word. Peter would not have commanded them to be baptized if they didn't need to be. If they were okay alone. And I'm not being ugly about this. I'm just preaching the truth. I'm just preaching what God's Word says, the truth. There it is. It's not my opinion. It's not church doctrine. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. We need to recognize and realize, if you look at the example with the Philippian jailer we talked about this morning a little bit, they went straightway and were baptized. They obeyed it. They believed it. You know, we need to be more adamant, I think, about when we read it, we need to obey it. You know, I think we need to take more effort to that and more consideration to that than we do sometimes. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Starting verse 17. It says, in the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of law there is no flesh, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This tells us here where it is that we get redemption, and that it is in Christ Jesus. Everything that is not in Christ Jesus does not have redemption. It's not forgiven. It cannot be. Without that shedding of that precious blood and us being obedient on our part, you know, like we talked about this morning, it's conditional about after our name is written in that Lamb's Book of Life whether we get to heaven or not. It's conditional. It's not that we just got it and we made it. You know, if you remember, Paul talked about later on in his life too, that not that I have yet attained. He wasn't sure that it was all wrapped up for him, was it? He knew that he needed to be faithful till he died. And that's it. You know, and many times it's not how we start that race out neither. You know what it is? It's how we finish that race. That's the most important. You know, and even in a physical race, you can put that into context. You don't have to start out being the first one off the line, but many times that's the focus. Some people are real good out of the gate too. But you know, they dwindle down in the end. We need to pace ourselves. You know what? We need to make sure we're in it for the long haul. And that we're going to finish well. That's the most important thing. You know, recently, I know of one person, and it was late in his life when he came to know the Lord. And I was talking to his mother about it, and some of you may know who it is even. And she was fretting over that a little bit about, I wish he had come to know the Lord sooner. I said, don't focus on that. Focus on that he came to know the Lord. That's the most important thing. Just praise the Lord for that. I said, think about how many people are going out every day that hadn't done that. Think about all the people that's dying every day. Every day. There are probably thousands of people dying in this country every day who are not prepared to meet God. Who are spiritually lost. Whose name is not written in that book of life that we read about this morning. But, and we read this morning too, where if your name's not written in that book of life, that they were cast into the lake of fire. And I told her also, I said, you know that passage in Matthew where it talks about those people that agreed for a day's wages. Those come in the morning, they agreed that certain amount. Well, those that come later in the day, well, they got the same amount. In the end, the reward was the same. Heaven is the same. Eternal life is the same. God has a perfect plan. And that's what we need to focus on. those things that are positive and good and right. And it just brings joy to my soul that someone is preparing when they do go to meet the Lord. It brings great sadness to my heart when I know people leaving this world and they're not prepared. You know, we can get in on some judging sometimes. We don't need to, but you know what? If we don't know someone's going to heaven, if we're not sure of it or relatively, then that should be something to worry about. And it's the same with us too. If we're not sure we're going to heaven, the only alternative to that is hell. And if you can't tell me here today that you're ready, that you're prepared to meet God, then you need to become that way. You need to make arrangements today. You don't need to wait till tomorrow. You don't need to think at some other more convenient time like Agrippa did in the Bible. As far as we know, he never did. He told him, I'll hear you again on this matter. Come to me at some more convenient time. Well, there's not ever no more convenient time than right now. And there's so many people that need to. It's a shame and it's sad that it's that way. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, it talks about it. It says, this explains it very well. It says, be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do you want peace? Man, I tell you what, it's so awesome gift from God to have peace in your heart. To know when you lay down and go to sleep at night, it doesn't matter if you wake up or not, that you'll be with the Lord. That you'll be in heaven. You'll be in eternal bliss. You'll be where those things that my mind won't even go far enough to imagine what He has in store for those that love Him. That's what it's going to be. And to know that I don't have any trespasses before me and Him or between me that are not forgiven. And if I do, all I have to do is ask. That's such an awesome thing. I think some people don't get it. I see people live their lives and get way up in age and they never get this part right here, and I want you to get it. This peace thing. God wants us to have peace in our hearts. And He's the only one who it comes through, Jesus, His Son. Cannot be. There's no other way. That's the way it has to be. But it takes effort on our part to get that. You know, I've seen people who are very good people, but they seem to not have that peace in their heart. God wants us to have that peace that passes all understanding. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, it says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. You know what? That's an awesome statement to think about that. God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. He's the God of peace. Not like we think of maybe, or we're praying for even sometimes, but He is the author of it. And this inclusion here, as in all the churches of the saints. You know what? Well, sometimes it's not like that, but it should be. We should be the most peaceful people there is in the world. Because we're the most blessed people in the world. We have things that other people don't even have, not an inkling of what it's really all about. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, it talks about those fruits of the Spirit there. I had a conversation yesterday and we were talking about and someone said unto me, by their fruits you shall know them. And that's what the Scripture says, and that's true. But you know, there's one thing about these fruits right here that it lists peace and joy and all those things being right there with it. There's no way that those things can be made like into a front. It's a real thing. You have it or you don't. That's the thing about fruits. We can do all kinds of works. We can do works for the wrong reason, you know that, and have the wrong intentions. We can be doing them and wish we was off fishing somewhere or something, you know. And we're not doing them for the right reason. We're doing those. But you know, the things about the fruit of the Spirit, we'll have those and they'll be growing on that tree. And we should all be children bringing forth fruit unto the Lord. And that is fruit unto the Lord. And they'll be visible for others to see too. We always need to be careful about us thinking that it's up to us to judge people. And we have to be careful about that when we get to these things in judging people. But God give us common sense and logic. He wants us to use it. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, He is our peace. It says in verse 15 there, in the last part of that verse, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now think about that. I've read through these Scriptures a lot and I never got that. But making of two, He wants one man and He wants him, this new man, and He wants him to be at peace. He is producing peace from you not being that other man, becoming this one man, this new creation in Him. Many people don't understand that as they become a new Christian and a new creature in Him, that you're not that old one anymore. You become totally new. You have to become something totally contrary and different than you were before. Colossians 1 and 10, 20 says, He made peace through the blood of the cross by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, things in heaven and in earth. It wasn't a few things. It wasn't some things. But He reconciled all things in heaven and in earth. How about that? God don't just partly do something. He don't just start something and stop. We do sometimes. But God don't. He accomplishes the whole deal. And that's what I'm telling you here about today. It's accomplished in heaven and it's been accomplished in earth. In Colossians 3 and verse 15 it says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." That's the way it should be. We should let that peace from God, let it be what does rule inside of us. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22 says, "Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart." So if you want to know who to follow after, and there has to be someone's leading that too, has to be. That's what I'm telling you. We're the ones called up on to do that. Then you follow after those righteous ones, those that have faith and love and peace. And those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Not that it's some show. Not that it's not for real. Those who it is a genuine thing. There is no substitution for the genuine thing. James chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is sown in peace of them that make peace." So if we want to sow peace, it comes from the fruit of righteousness, and it's from those that make peace. So if you make peace, you know what? You're sowing peace, and you're sowing it in righteousness. You're being obedient unto God. That's my message for today. I hope that's something that's been helpful unto you. I hope that it's something that helped you to grow in the Lord, to uplift you, to make you realize how that maybe things are not like they should be, and we need to make sure that they are. If you're not prepared today to meet the Lord, you need to make arrangements too. If you're a child of God and you like our prayers for you and with you, come as we sing the invitation. If you're not a child of God and you'd like to become one, you must hear, and you have today. You've heard about Jesus Christ and our Lord and Savior. You must believe that He is the Son of God. You must confess that He is the Son of God. You must repent. You must change your mind. You must change your actions. That's part of us even being forgiven, you know. If we don't repent, if we don't stop doing it, if we don't turn away from, if we don't change our minds about that, that's a condition of it. That's a condition even with us forgiving one another. If we tell our brothers that they're doing wrong and it says, and if he repents, forgive him. So that's a very important thing of it. And then we must do as Peter, as Paul had written to him there and told him, they must be baptized. Peter commanded them to be baptized, those Gentiles. Come if you're subject to the invitation, the song, let's be in song.